Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Practice number 10 is in the books here at Packers training camp. A pretty long affair, about 2.5 hours. Lots of situational work today. End of game type stuff, specific. You have one timeout. You're down by 7. You got to get into at least striking range to try and score a touchdown to pull within, winning. Go for that 2-point conversion. The ones were unable to do so. The twos, great throw from Malik Willis to Mecole Hardman, who won on a double move in the corner of the end zone and then won the game with a 2-point conversion on a really sweet sidearm throw from Willis to Julian Hicks, I believe, there for the 2-pointer. But lots of situational work, stuff that it was interesting. At one point, sitting with some of the guys on the beat, we kind of started placing, oh, this is where they had an issue 2 years ago, or, oh, I remember this during that game coming up and being a problem. One very specifically was almost identical to the situation they had against the Bears at the end of last year, where you guys remember they allowed that completion over the middle, which gave the Bears an opportunity to kick that field goal and win in Lambeau for the first time in forever. So a lot of situational work throughout today's practice. They did some more traditional stuff as well, move the ball, 2-minute drills, all of that. But just interesting to see Matt drilling down. I don't recall a practice like that in the time that he's been here where it was so very specifically situationally driven, really making sure that the guys know what's expected of them in each and every one of those situations. And for the most part, it feels like the guys responded really well. We'll see what Matt has to say about it tomorrow. And speaking of responding, Jaden Reed had a number of really nice receptions in both 2-minute and end of game. There was a corner route that he ran that Jordan Love threw an absolutely incredible ball to get out of bounds and to get them into striking range to try and score that winning touchdown. Just a beautiful route from Reed and a gorgeous, perfect throw from Jordan Love. But even during some of the, regular scrimmage stuff, there was good back and forth from the defense and the offense today. Jordan Love threw a bomb to Romeo Doubs, who got behind both Evan Williams and Javon Bullard for a big, big game, about 50-yard touchdown. Beautiful play. But also, I saw a number of really nice reps from some of the young cornerbacks, both Micah Robinson and Kalen King, really jumped off the field today. I'm very, very anxious to see those guys in preseason games. Unfortunately, I won't be around for the joint practices. I'm sure those will be great opportunities for those young guys as well. But I'm very anxious to see them get some reps in actual live action, because I tell you what, both of those guys, both Kalen and Micah, are looking very, very good, very consistent. Yeah, it's what you want from your young guys. They're, going to obviously be tested here throughout the summer. Today was a really good work day for both of them. Kalen in particular had a play where Willis tried to throw a smoke to Malik Heath, the left side, left flat. And I mean, I don't know what he was keying on, but King read it the whole way and essentially arrived right when the ball did to break it up. It was just a really good, heady, veteran-like play. Again, like to see more of that. Want to see him in game situations. But I'd say overall, it's a promising start here, Kalen King's second year in the NFL. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody in the comments section. Everybody chiming in. Each and every one of you, thank you so much for being here. Reminder, tonight, if you're in the Green Bay area, come on out to Backyard Brew, 6:30 p.m. It is Taco Tuesday, I am told, over there at Backyard Brew. So come thirsty, come hungry. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to hang. We're going to bring some beer. We're going to talk some ball. The Brewers will be playing. I'm sure they'll have that on the TV. It's going to be a good time. Come on out. Drink some beer. Talk some football. I mean, essentially, that's our brand, right? Beer and ball. That's what we do. Hello. Yes, thank you. Thank you in the comments. Thank you so much. Before we get going, you guys know, I got to give a shout-out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. This just in. The Bears still suck. PT Sports Frisco. Nailed it. Well done. Very, very well done. Who we got here? We got Dennis up in here. What's up, man? Dale's here from Albuquerque. What's up, Dale? Hello from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I hope you're doing well. Tamor Taring, thanks for checking out the stream. Do you think Sam Brown Jr. makes the roster? Big fan since 2018, Nags. Thank you very much. And unfortunately, no, I don't think he's going to make the roster. He was legit just released earlier today. I want to say about a half hour before I went live. He was waived injured. So there's a chance that he could come back on the, you know, reserve, but I doubt there's much chance of that happening. They signed a offensive lineman who has been with them before, Lectus Smith, and released Brown Jr. again, waived him injured. So got to suspect there'll be some kind of injury settlement there. So no, don't feel good about his chances of making the roster. Joe Mailman, thanks for the super chat, man. Is there room for both Stackhouse and Brinson on the 53, or is that one too many nose tackles? Can either play some three tech? Something to watch on Saturday. It is 100% something to watch, and it's going to be tricky. To your point, man, you want some guys that can give you a little juice on at three tech and give you a little bit of relief for Devontae Wyatt. I don't doubt for a moment that Brinson will be asked to work at both. From what I've seen, Stackhouse has been, I want to say strictly nose, but mostly nose, and played well. And Brinson has started to come on. He was, you know, a bit quiet at the start of camp, at least since I've been here, when the pads came on. But I want to say over the last two or three practices, he started to make some noise. And hopefully that continues into preseason. But as you point out, I'm very interested to see where they run him the majority of the time. It's tough to keep track when you're at practice because we're obviously at field level and staring kind of down the line. It's really hard sometimes to tell who's getting lined up where down after down because they do switch those guys out and around quite a bit, especially with the twos and threes. But it is something to track when we get a chance to see them on Saturday against the Jets. No doubt about it. Jason, thanks for the super chat, man. The biggest problem for our offense is that there is only one ball for all of our playmakers. It's a good problem to have, right? But it's a legit concern, I would say, if I'm Matt LaFleur and I've got to make sure that everyone's staying involved and hopefully, you know, getting fed from time to time. But that said, you need to have, you know, your go-to players and your go-to guys in certain situations. There's no doubt. I asked Matt about this morning because they have certainly made a living off of that backside slant to Romeo Doubs. You know, they picked up a lot of first downs that way last year. They ran it on family night, and that's a play that feels like they have it whenever they want it, you know, and it'll be interesting to see if they can develop something like that for Tucker Kraft, right? We keep hearing about how he's going to be more involved. He's going to be more of a primary read in this offense. Those guys are going to hopefully start to, you know, emerge. And look, man, there's every possibility. Some, like, even a rookie like Matthew Golden could start to become one of those guys. There's a long way to go, but yeah, the need to keep everyone involved certainly is going to be on Matt's mind. But at the same time, I think they like the idea that maybe someone goes a stretch, even a game or two, without being heavily involved, and then being able to utilize that for future opponents. Like, oh, they're probably going to be expecting some of our bread and butter stuff. Now we go to, you know, Dontavian Wicks for a certain play or for a certain situation, a certain matchup with a defensive back that they like, think favors them, et cetera. I do think there's going to be a push and a pull when it comes to, you know, who is the primary read, who is getting fed, and who is being kind of more of a auxiliary piece. And I think what the interesting fulcrum there is going to be Jaden Reed, right? Reed was running almost, again, in this practice, and I was watching particularly for this, almost exclusively out of the slot yet again. You know, they are not utilizing him on the perimeter. And he's made, like I said today, he made some really nice catches, some big time plays. But I think some of his output is going to be dependent on the opponent and what, how do they match up, and are they able to take advantage with three wide receivers or four? And, or is this a team that they do button it up, right, and run the ball a hell of a lot more and only have two wideouts out there and he's not on the field as much? Those are the kind of things, interesting things to watch throughout this summer, no doubt. Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitch. Appreciate you. What's the realistic route the Packers take with Christian Watson? Reports are he's looking good running around at practice. He most certainly is. He looks, to my complete layman's eye, like he's explosive. And that's wild considering he's coming off an ACL injury. But, you know, he does do a little bit of route running and a little bit of cutting. And, you know, they haven't, you know, let him kind of let loose, so to speak. But he's certainly looked good. Now, all of that said, they've point blank said he's not going to practice this summer. Like he's not going to get taken off the PUP to practice during training camp. You know, I suspect he starts the season on PUP, and then they have those first 4 weeks, and then they can take him off PUP, and hopefully they have him out there by late October, early November. That would be my guess. Right now, another way they could go, they could put him on injured reserve after he makes the 53-man roster. They place him on the 53-man roster, and then they put him on injured reserve. And I know that was a rule for a long while. I cannot remember if they changed that or not last year or this year, because I know there was talk that they were going to change the rule that if you get placed on injured reserve before the final cutdown, you can still come back. That may have changed. I can't remember for sure. But that is another route they could go. They could put him on IR and essentially just carry him for as long as they need. And then when they feel he's ready, bring him off of injured reserve. Then they have a 21-day window to activate him. That's also a possibility. But considering how he looks and how, and even the coach has said, you know, he's ahead of schedule, I think starting the season on PUP, just staying on PUP for, you know, the beginning of the year, that's a possibility. And that means he misses those first four games, and then they can kind of take it from there, so to speak. We'll see. But I certainly thought, given the fact that he suffered that ACL injury in the final game of the year, you know, we're talking, what, late December, early January, I didn't think there was any way he'd be back, like, by Thanksgiving. I thought there was no way. And now it feels like that is not only going to happen, but he's going to be back probably, seemingly, maybe even a month before that. So we'll see how it plays out. Long way to go, but it's certainly encouraging watching him and seeing how, I mean, fluid he looks. He looks quote unquote normal, right? Like he could go out and play if he wanted to. Now, obviously we don't have access to the medical stuff, etc., but he looks good. He looks ready to go. Spencer, this is an interesting question. Why is the pervasive narrative Green Bay lacks blue chip players? I think the discussion on Love is always clunky from a national perspective. I get what you're saying, and in particular about Jordan Love, I do think there's enough tape out there throughout his first 2 years as a starter to make you question what, you know, how effective he can be. What is his ceiling as far as some of the really bad interceptions he's thrown, some of the throws that are just off target, and some kind of bad consistency in that regard when compared to blue chip quarterback play, right? Now, all of that said, I think Jordan Love is special. I think, yes, there's been context and mitigating circumstances in a lot of this. Certainly his wide receiver play last year let him down at times. But when it comes to Jordan, I think he's still a very special athlete who has not even come close to, you know, hitting his ceiling, so to speak. But man, you're going to get remembered for the big plays, but the bad plays as well from a national perspective. And that's going to color every piece of commentary, you know? So I think as amazing as that run was at the end of 2023, I mean, that was, he was playing the best ball at the position in the league at that point, to some of the really kind of ups and downs we saw last year. You know, I think I'm not surprised that the national media is kind of shied away from quote unquote crowning him, especially going into 2024 when there was talk that, oh yeah, Jordan Love could win MVP, right? Now, all that said, you talk about the narrative of the Packers in general lacking blue chip players. I don't think that's unfair. I really don't. I mean, you talk about guys who are difference makers, who coordinators are staying up at night trying to scheme around or neutralize. I get there's a lot of talent in Green Bay. There's a lot of young talent in Green Bay. There's a lot of guys you're hoping ascend to become one of those type of players. Tucker Kraft feels like he's on the precipice, right? But he's not that yet, or he hasn't been. You know, he could be. This could be the year. Certainly the wide receiver group last year was given a whole lot of press and a whole lot of praise and they're ready to arrive. And maybe they read a little too many of their own press clippings, because that certainly didn't occur last year. And there certainly wasn't a guy in that group that made defensive coordinators, you know, stay up extra hours at night trying to prepare for. I mean, Christian Watts is the closest they had, you know. And then you switch around to the defensive side of the ball. You just cut Jair Alexander, who's been your best corner. You know, I get he hasn't been able to stay on the field, but that's a blue chip player that you just let go, you know. Now, could Edgerrin Cooper become that type of player? Absolutely. The ceiling is there. Like, there's every chance that could happen, right? Xavier McKinney, he's a difference maker, right? That's one guy on defense. You know, Rashawn Gary, is he a guy that, you know, you're max protecting for, you're sliding protection to, and still having to worry about? Like, is he busting up double teams and slide protection and chips and all that? You know, you just look at the output and the productivity last year and you would suggest, no, probably not. You know, it's certainly not a Max Crosby level or a Bosa level. So I think there's tons of talent. There's tons of promise. And there's the expectation that this team finds some of those players this year as they continue to grow. There's probably still going to be the youngest team in the league yet again. But hopefully, yeah, a player or two emerge to give them some more of those kind of difference makers. So that narrative, I don't take offense to as a Packers fan. I think that's more than fair. You know, again, a lot of talent, a whole lot of talent. Hell, Matthew Golden could be one of those guys. We'll see. But to my eyes, that's, again, I don't think that's an unfair analysis of the Packers roster at the moment. Andrew Ware, what's up, man? Hobbs, woof. I love everyone getting so down about this. Man, I'd rather have it happen now than have him miss games in the regular season. Let's stay positive. And plus, this means he can't be hurting our own dudes for like a month. He'll be back just in time to go hurt other dudes. That's the way I'm looking at it. I don't know. You guys can get all upset about it if you want. I mean, he's out there laying the wood each and every day at practice, blowing up Marshawn Lloyd, running into other dudes. He put Jaden Reed on his ass during a 2-minute drill the other day. Like, man, okay, put him in bubble wrap for the next 3 weeks. Let him get out there week one. Let him do that to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm fine with that. I don't know, man. You guys can be upset if you need to, but I'm with it. Steven, thanks for the super chat, man. Love's Players Tribune article was honestly amazing. Really rooting for him to make that jump into elite status this year. Steven, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's outstanding context of who the guy is, right? And it's a side that we haven't really heard him talk a lot about, like in interviews, and certainly not from the podium, post game, or anything like that. But, you know, that's not the place. But what I loved about that piece, and if you guys haven't read it, if you haven't seen it, Jordan Love wrote a piece for the Players Tribune, and he really kind of opened up about when he was a kid and almost quitting football, and his father's suicide, and his mother being there for him throughout everything, and like essentially making him play one more year of football and telling him if he, you know, got to that end of that year and still hated it and still didn't want to do it, she would let him go, right? But the fact that she did that and he stuck with it and is now in the position he's in. And he talked about being drafted by the Packers and the narrative around that with the relationship to Rodgers and the Packers organization. And it's just what I loved about it, what I absolutely loved about it was so clearly in his voice. It was so clearly his very personal perspective. You know, it didn't feel sanitized. It didn't feel like he had like a PR person write it, which can sometimes come through in some of these Players Tribune articles. It really felt like his voice. Now, I don't know what the process was here. I don't know if he sat down and banged it out, the text himself, or maybe he dictated it to someone. I don't know. But I do know it very much felt like a direct conversation with the young man, talking about his real life and all of the things that he's gone through and, yeah, overcome to get to the spot he's in right now. Man, again, if you haven't read it, do yourself the favor. I assume if you're a Packers fan, you're already rooting for Jordan Love. But, man, I don't care who you are. If you're an NFL fan at all, you can't read that and not pull for the young man, not root for him. It was absolutely excellent. Really, really good stuff. Jason, thanks again, man. Do you think Aaron and Brett flipped off their respective TVs when we selected Golden? Joke. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I doubt either one of them were actually watching beat by beat. But it is kind of funny, right? The fact that after Javon Walker, they were just like, you're a bunch of second and third rounders. Although they were insanely talented. It ain't like, you know, Davante Adams was a scrub. Not like Greg Jennings sucked. You know, they gave him a lot of talent to work with. Just picked a couple spots sooner. That's all. I'll tell you what, though. The early returns on Golden look phenomenal. So maybe there's something to this first-round thing. I can't. Rick Ward, thanks for the super chat, man. Will you be at Giants-Packers game? No, most likely not. We'll certainly be having a meetup in New York the day/night before that game. But I won't be attending the actual game. I have to be here on YouTube for watch party with all you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, who also can't go to that game. As much fun as it is, I used to do it when they come to New York, I go there. But man, I just miss out. There's only, 17 games a year. I want to make sure I'm connecting with you guys around the world here on Cheesehead TV as much as possible. So, yeah, no, won't be at the game, but definitely we'll be having a meetup the day before. So look out for that information. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. Since the Lions season is now over, I thought they would have fired all the staff and GM. certainly not over, but excited to see how things shake out there in week one. Carolina, that's more than a fair observation. I don't like the seemingly endless struggles Love has with his deep ball. Strong arm that loses aim over 20 or question mark. Well, like I said, he hit a deep one today. I think it's pretty normal, especially early in camp, for a guy to be a little bit off with his receivers and kind of miss some of that stuff. Now, he certainly was up and down with it last year. There's no doubt about it. There's no camp excuse, right? But again, there was also some wide receiver issues, drops, whatever, two guys in the same spot, spacing issues and stuff like that, that hopefully gets ironed out this summer and they can start cooking with gas. I understand the frustrations, but man, I remember Rodgers going through a stretch where he really struggled to hit the deep ball coming out of camp early in the season and then finding his groove. I want to say like 2018, 2019. Sometimes it's just you got to get that repetition in, and that's what camp is all about. Who knows how much he plays in the preseason? I don't think a ton. But that's why those joint practices are going to be very, very valuable, especially in that regard. Joseph, thanks for the super chat, man. Football is close. I'm happy. Have a good day. What a great comment. Thanks, Joseph. Right back at you. I hope you have a great day, man. Richard, this is a great question. How's Love's footwork? Here's my honest answer. I don't care. I mean, as long as the ball gets there, I don't care. And look, I get all this, QB gurus on Twitter who are breaking down each and every play from family night and talking about how he needs to step into this and that. That was me. When we first started Cheesehead TV, I used to do that. You know who I did that to? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers turned out okay. Even though he threw off his back foot, didn't step into throws, had stuff that was a little unconventional. Jordan Love is a special talent. Now, I don't know if he ever reaches his full potential, but the potential for him to be one of the best in the business is still certainly there. Absolutely, you want him to come to balance. You want him to step into his throws, drive especially those outbreaking routes so they don't get intercepted. These are all things that they are undoubtedly talking about in the meeting rooms and then looking at the film and then trying to take it to the practice field. But man, look, there are guys who have played this game at the highest of the highest levels who have been a bit unconventional in certain areas and had a little bit of wonky footwork. I mean, Brett Favre did. Aaron Rodgers did. They're going, Brett's in the Hall of Fame. Aaron's going to the Hall of Fame. I understand, like, in this day and age, we, nerd out and hyper-niche all this stuff. But you ask me, personally, Aaron Nagler here sitting in front of this microphone, how is Love's footwork? I don't care. I want the ball to get there. Now, we're in a game and, you know, he misses a third down throw that he doesn't step into. I'm certainly going to notice it. But, man, I ain't in those meeting rooms. You know, I'm not there trying to drill this guy. That's Sean Mannion's job. That's Matt LaFleur's job. So, but look, like I said, to each their own, geek out about it all you want, break it down, go crazy on the five-step drop and where the hitch is and all that stuff. I mean, I love watching JT O'Sullivan do that stuff. A guy who played at the highest level in the league, knows the game, knows, forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. Like, I love geeking out on that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But, man, there are so many mostly dudes on Twitter like, here you see, here is that footwork is all up. Stop. Just stop. Just stop. From your sofa.
Oh, you see the hitch is off here.
Man, come on. Again, I only say this because I was that. That was me when we first started Cheesehead TV. Free yourself. I'm telling you, you'll enjoy things a whole hell of a lot more. Just free yourself. Eric, thanks for the super chat, man. Jordan Love's ceiling, best of Favre and best of Rodgers. The floor, the worst of Favre and the worst of Rodgers. Either way, it will be one hell of a show. You're not wrong, man. You are not wrong, especially the Favre stuff. I mean, he has made some insanely special throws, and he has made some really boneheaded plays, which just sounds like Favre, right? Yeah, man, I'm with you there. No doubt about it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.